This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 269 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuddersincpodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
No, I'm not ready to go yet, mate. Give me a couple of minutes, I'll be right to go.
Nope. How you been?
I've just had a lovely week off. Didn't have to listen to your dulcet tones for an entire week. Change is as good as a holiday.
I barely get two words in anyway.
I listened to my wife for a week. That was a change is as good as a holiday. I listened to somebody else for once.
Right.
First time in 17 years she said anything.
Or you mean it's the first time in 17 years that you've listened to it?
Well, no, she said three sentences. It's a bit of an over. She said, I do, and we're pregnant. Right. And I think there might have been something during labour. It's all your fault. I think there might be a few of those thrown out as well.
Oh, dear.
No, life. It's been a good week. We've had a lot of fun, even though we haven't had to record. Didn't get to record last week,
but no.
I've been finishing off school holidays and planning stuff and having fun.
What have you been planning?
Nothing exciting. Nothing like what you've been gallivanting around doing.
Right.
Was there some gallivanting being done?
Oh, to Magnetic Island?
You gallivanted, didn't you?
Yes.
Yes. Do tell. What was it like? Was it hypnotic, magnetic?
Well, yes. I am absolutely convinced that there is something freaky going on up there regarding magnetic fields. The story goes that the name of the island came about because Captain Cook, on his voyage through that part of the world, was convinced that something on that island was messing with the compass on his ship. Now, modern-day scientists have done all sorts of tests and come to the conclusion that there is nothing particularly anomalous about Magnetic Island. However, Kath and I both noticed that the batteries on our phones drained really quickly while we were there. And
nothing to do with being further away from reception or anything like that.
Well, no, because we had quite good reception there.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter how far the signal had to travel to get the reception.
Maybe.
It's sending and receiving more often or something.
But more freaky than that.
Oh, yeah.
I took my little handheld flash recorder. It's an audio recorder, just a little handheld job.
Yeah.
Now, before I left home, I put the two AA batteries in it and they showed full bars.
Only got them, they weren't even inside anymore.
Of you know, power, right?
Yeah.
I get up there and I could not get the thing to switch on. And I thought, oh, that's weird. Maybe those batteries.
Did you put them in the right way?
Yeah. I hadn't taken them back. Well, I'd put them back in, like they were in, and I'd switched it off and taken it up there without taking the batteries out of the device. So, yes, they were in the correct orientation.
In the right way as well?
Yes. Would not power up no matter what. And so I thought to myself, oh, maybe those batteries were just close to dead and they showed full power, but then, but if I'd left them running, they would have just died instantly anyway. Didn't think too much about it. Didn't actually have a need to use the flash recorder while I was there. Got back home, pulled it out of my suitcase, hit the power button, came straight on. Full bars.
Wow.
Just bizarre.
Now, here's the question, being the audio engineer that you are.
Yeah.
Can magnets stop audio devices working? Is it a known phenomenon?
Hand magnets?
Well, magnetic ions is magnets. It's a magnet field.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying maybe.
But I'm saying that if you put your voice recorder near a big bunch of magnets, is it going to stop it working? This is a known scientific problem in the field.
If it was an analog recorder, that could definitely be a problem because analog recording.
Wipe the tape. You could wipe the tape.
Yes, exactly. That's right. In fact, back in the analog days, we used to have what was called a bulk eraser, which was a big wooden box with an electromagnet, and you would flip a switch, the magnet would come on, and then you would stick the tape inside the box, and it would wipe all of the audio that was recorded on that tape in one go. And that could be an hour of recording tape wiped in, 30 seconds flat.
Where does it all go to, though, Bruce?
It doesn't go anywhere.
has to.
You have to understand how.
It's like a vacuum cleaner. It sucks it into something.
No, it doesn't.
Is that, yeah. If you put your head really close to that magnet, do you like hear the little voices?
It'll suck all the information out of your brain.
I reckon that's what it is. It's like remote controls. What happens to all the remotes that don't get used? You know, when you point your remote control at like a TV and you press the button, it sends a stream of remotes out to it, right? But it only takes one remote to change the channel. Where did the rest go?
Yeah, okay.
Doesn't this stuff keep you awake too at night? It does me.
No.
Could explain an awful lot. Back to sleep. But this stuff freaks me out, you know?
Obviously. So anyway, so beyond that, the weather was a little bit cooler than we had anticipated, but it was still warmer than here.
Mid-20s?
Yeah, it was sort of 23 to 25, where I was expecting it to be sort of more like 26 to 28. Yeah. But it was still, you know, it was a pleasant change from here. Weather was generally pretty good. There was a little bit of rain the first day we got there, but after that we had sunny days.
Tropical-ish.
Hey?
It is a tropical area, you get that.
Yeah, exactly. A few activities on the island, which we got up to, things like horse riding, and you could go swimming with your horse in the ocean, jet ski.
How far out?
Only shoulder deep on the horse.
Oh, I'm going to say, because isn't the sharks and stuff up there? Wouldn't that be? Yeah. I suppose the one benefit, of course, is the horse is bigger than you. So
that's right.
The shark will eat that than you. Yes. It's always that.
So Kath did that. Max and I declined because the water was quite chilly. Max and I went jet skiing. Kath and Max went out on a tube, you know, towed behind a speedboat. Yeah. We went out on all three of us went out on a schooner called the Providence V or the Providence 5, whichever way you want to refer to it.
No, I would never go on that.
Why is that?
Well, not less than what happened to the first four. Hang on a second. Is this some sort of experimental vessel? Let's see if she froze this time.
So it was generally a pretty good week. They have a 10-kilometer road that runs sort of around two sides of the island. There are no crossroads as such. There's just this one road that links the four, I guess you could call them villages.
There's no crossroads. There's no road rage.
That's right. Yeah. And I think the highest speed zone on the island is 80.
See, Bruce, you know, we missed out on last week's recording, so we owe them twice as many bad jokes this episode.
Right, okay.
Well, I'm working hard.
Okay. So you've got these four little villages that are dotted around the island with this one road that connects them all, and there's a bus service that runs on a regular basis.
Are there different themes in each village? That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
This is a village people joke.
No, it's like,
like four of them, you know.
Why would you want to go to the next town unless it was something different? So they theme it. You go there, like, you have different cocktails in the bars,
right?
You know, different themed hotels. Because every time you go back to the island four times and stay in a different village each time and have a different experience.
Right.
It just haven't marketed it very well, Bruce. we could do wonders for that economy.
Okay.
Imagine that, you know. Everyone's going to walk on stilts world, as an example. Yeah, I mean, I'm just on the fly thinking here. That might not naturally take off straight away with the younger kids who can't hold a stilt. But you see where I'm coming from.
Yes. Yeah. Sort of. So anyway, it was a good week. It was a good week away. It was a nice break.
Some photos, over too quickly. Most important, that's all we really care about.
Yeah.
Care about the holiday.
Photographically, the
was ugly.
Island, yeah, it didn't inspire me the way I thought it would. But I mean, I got a couple of shots that I was happy with.
That's always the challenge when you get to a place that is not quite what you're
up to your expectations.
Yeah, yeah. So, and how you deal with that sudden depression.
Yeah. an interesting thing, you might have seen the image that I posted of the paper bark trees.
No.
Okay, fine.
Was that on my Facebook page?
No, on my Facebook.
I wouldn't see it there.
Because you only look at your own, right?
I look at anyone else's.
Well, that was a case of I went, you know, walking up this track away from one of the villages in search of a decent sunset shot, and realized as I was walking along the road that there was no way I was going to get to a spot where I would be able to A, find some decent foreground interest, and B, set up in time to capture something before the sun went down. Yeah. And so I kind of...
I see it now with a really crappy frame around it.
Yeah, it is a crappy frame, I know. Maybe that's why no one replied or liked it or whatever.
I'll make a comment on it right now.
Good on you. It'll be nasty, I know. So anyway, after the sun went down, I thought, oh, well, this was just a wasted expedition, you know. So I turned around and I started heading back to meet up with Kath and Max. And it was while I was walking back along the road and the sun was now below the horizon that there was this... just this clump of paper bark trees that just looked really nice in the dusk.
I'm sure they look nice to the naked eye.
Yeah, but it didn't really come across. So, yeah. Well,
can I make a comment? I think we should put a link to this photo.
Right.
Next week, because I see a major visual problem for my eye with what you've done to show this online.
Okay.
And that's with the faux mat and faux frame you put around it.
Yep.
So I see you've tried to maybe match the tone somewhat with
yes,
the mat.
Yes, that's kind of where I was going.
Sort of the reddish afternoon glow on the trees.
Yep.
But the problem is it's so overpowering, the frame and the mat, those colours, that it draws your eye out
it
to those rather than
from
into
it.
The tree. Yeah,
yeah.
It pulls your eye away from the subject rather than to it.
It would have been better with a flat, just white mat and
a black
frame.
It would have been better without the fake mat.
Yeah.
Fake frame, frankly. But you see, if you look at it, you'll see your eyes get pulled outwards rather than inwards. It doesn't draw you into the and that's always a problem in real life framing something. How do you complementary frame something so it doesn't pull your eye away from the subject?
Yeah,
but allows the eye to naturally fall into the shot.
You think I should have gone for a color that was on the opposite side of the color wheel?
No, I think you should have had no fake frame at all. Why put a fake frame in the bloody photo? Let the photo stand by itself with a fake frame.
Okay.
Unless you're going to put it on a fake wall, you know, in a fake house with a fake family.
Right.
That sounds a bit bitter, doesn't it? Somewhat. Just somewhat. But yes, it's so the photo looks nice enough. I mean, once again, it helps if you've been there. It's a pleasant picture.
Yeah, but it's not
fairly
inspiring. So
that means it's not a photo, it's just a picture.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Sometimes all you want is pictures.
And it was a case of I was disappointed in my efforts to get a great sunset, and so it was, oh, this looks pretty good right here, right now. Let's try and make something of this so that this has not been a completely fruitless walk for 4 kilometres, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you lost a couple of kilos.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
So and the rest of the island wasn't photographically visually pleasing? Is that what you're saying? It
was just- not overly. There's a thing called the forts, which is a series of old concrete bunkers where during the Second World War they built, you know, gun turrets and
sounds pretty cool.
Powder kegs and that sort of thing, which we went and saw, but unless you were going to take time to set up, you know, remote flashes and colored gels and all that kind of stuff, you know, it was
a long time exposure rather than light paint.
Yeah, exactly. Or, yeah, you know, and go up there. In the, you know, golden hour or blue hour, you know, rather than in the middle of the day, which was when we were there.
Oh, do you mean actually go out when you should be photographing landscapes?
Exactly.
Exactly. I couldn't take any good landscapes between 12 and 2 ever. My best landscapes have always come between 12 o'clock and 2 o'clock, said no one ever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I
get it. It's a family holiday. You get what you get and you don't get upset.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm just basically focused now on our next Borneo adventure 12 months from now. Magnetic Island has been, it's gone. It was disappointing. And
the holiday was nice. But
I'm looking forward.
It was disappointing photographically.
It was. It was. But having said that, you know, I got some nice images from it that, you know, from a family perspective, they document what we got up to for the week. They're of little interest to anybody outside of our family.
Oh, no, that one, whatever that thing your son was doing to that thing, that was kind of interesting.
Sorry?
This is a photo of the three.
Oh,
your son doing who knows what to who knows what.
Yeah.
And you've gone, don't ask me what he's doing. So that was interesting.
Yeah, that was just weird.
That I was just him, you have to ask straight away, what is he doing? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Very funny stuff.
Anyway. But I was very happy with some of the shots I got on the Providence V. There were shots of Max.
There's got to be lots of opportunities to shoot on there for detail stuff.
Yeah, I did. Ropes, I shot a lot of detail stuff.
Anchors and wooden stuff.
You know, but there was Max climbing up the rigging, and there were shots where I climbed up the rigging and then shot down onto the deck.
Whenever you're doing those shots with someone going up rigging like this, you should actually do video. You shouldn't do still photos.
Why?
Well, if they fall, do you get funniest home videos? It's just photos. There's nothing to do.
Yeah, right.
And there's good money in that funniest home videos. Could probably pay for the hospital bills.
Excellent.
Just a little tip for your new players
yeah,
out.
Yeah, right.
And if you're shooting at high enough video quality, you can always capture a good still off it later.
That's true. Yeah, so anyway, so that was Magnetic Island.
Have you posted any of your photos from the boat, like the detail stuff I'd like to see?
Yeah, they're on brucewilliamsphotography.com.
Are they?
Oh, which I posted the link to on Facebook yesterday. But you haven't bothered to look.
I never would.
Just go to brucewilliamsphotography.com.
I did a minute ago, and I couldn't see anything. So,
Click on the link that says blog.
Oh, there you go. I was looking under photos.
Yeah. How silly is that?
What a fool am I?
Yeah,
I looked under photos, then I looked under travel, you know.
Yeah,
call me stupid. I don't know.
I haven't set that part up yet. There will be an entry for Magnetic Island under the travel section, under the photo
galleries,
section.
Travel.
Yeah, just haven't got there. But it's on the blog. It's on the blog.
Oh, dear.
So anyway.
The best laid plans.
Yeah, exactly. So
there's no photos on there. There's just some words.
Scroll down, you numb. Oh, hit the read more button.
Oh,
God, you technical Luddite.
Well, there's so much. There's Facebook, there's Tweet, there's Pin It, there's Share, there's Google Plus, there's everything else around it. It's just blending in with all the other items.
Look, I will confess, my whole photography website needs a complete redesign.
No, there's nothing wrong with it, dude.
Yeah,
it's by doing it again properly. Like this photo of this landscape that I'm pulling up, that's weirdly stretched.
I know that there's an issue with the photo plugin that uses that does that lightbox effect, where sometimes it doesn't do it every time. I'll guarantee if you were to escape and reload that image, it'll probably load properly. It's really weird. It's an intermittent bug.
It only happens once in a while too, doesn't it?
That's right. Thank you.
I'm looking at a couple of shots there from the boat. They seemed rather nice. There's your kid up the up the thing.
Yep.
Yeah, up the scaffolding, what do they call it?
The rigging.
That's one. Oh, dear. And then I must offer congratulations to you.
On?
The piece of glassware you won during the week.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
It was for this podcast, was it? You won an award for this podcast?
No.
Least listened to podcast on iTunes?
You are a cruel man. thank you. Yeah. Now, the employer that I work for, the Australian Radio Network, within the creative department, we have an award, sort of a incentive type thing for those of us who work in the creative department, called the Creative Fire Awards. So named because of the shape of the award, not the other way around. The company found that they could get these awards and liked the design, and then came up with the name for the award based on the design of the award.
I thought it was something important. It's just like Employee of the Week award.
No, it's not.
Because you're a small company. Yeah, with like four people doing your job, and one of the four of you had to win. So, like, whose turn is it this year?
You've been taking lessons off Freiberg, haven't you?
Bruce hasn't had a go for a couple of years. Let's give him one. I thought it was like an industry award as opposed to a business award. Yeah, your own little company. No, well done. How many of those have you got now?
Three.
Yeah, you said it was to add to your other ones.
Two awesome. Quarterlies and one annual.
How many years? So you haven't won an Employee of the Week award. You've only won.
We don't have an Employee of the Week award.
Sound Man of the Week.
You're nasty.
I'm trying.
Yes, you are.
I'm very trying, as my wife will tell you. Fabulous. Well, that's enough about you.
So what have you been up to?
Not much.
Right. Shooting more war vets, I see.
Yeah, we went out again yesterday. Since the school holidays are finished, we're back in doing the veterans project again. So we've got better travel a bit of distance to get to. We only got one in yesterday, and we're hoping of doing four next week, which will be good.
Right.
And fabulous, fabulous people we met there. So just lovely. Yeah, that's typical country folk. Yep. As soon as we arrived, yep. We're in, ushered in, sat at the table. We had the best china out, the cups of tea were brought out, the
fresh curried scones,
curried egg sandwiches, and and the corned beef sandwiches all brought out, and then the coffee cake, fabulous.
Right.
So we're already full before we got there. There's stuff, this plate loads upon plate loads of food.
Couldn't bend down to open the camera bag.
Oh man, it was just typical wonderful. Yeah, and they're just delightful people. Yeah. And this man wouldn't talk very much about his
wartime experience.
His wartime experience. And when I found out what he did, what vehicles he was involved in, I sort of understood why.
Right.
It turns out he was involved with the things called the Churchill Crocodiles.
Okay.
Which I said straight away, I've got to admit, I've never heard of this. What is it? He goes, oh, it's a modified tank. Yeah, the Churchill Crocodiles. Okay. And what did it do? He goes, oh, it was a flamethrower tank.
Right.
And this thing could throw flames about 400 feet ahead of itself.
Wow.
Yeah. And they'd just drive along and incinerate people.
Wow.
I don't know why he didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And the other thing they could do is they could spray this big jet of this gel-like petroleum over everybody, and then the next burst would be the flame burst and set everyone on fire.
Yeah, right.
Or they go up to like area that's being barricaded in, or there might be a building or some sort of post, and they just spray this stuff into it and then...
Yeah, right.
So, wow. Yeah, and as we know, fire is one of man's greatest fears,
yep.
You know. So what a harrowing thing to do, you know.
Yeah.
But he says the effectiveness of the weapon saved so many of his comrades' lives because of what they were able to, how they were able to clear paths.
Yeah, right.
And just the sheer fact that this thing was coming would make the opposition run. Because wow. I know I would too if I was in that situation. Yeah. So that was once again, pretty powerful. But I loved the shot of him. The first shot off the we hadn't been shooting for a while, so I was feeling a bit rusty. And
right.
I was talking to Dave on the way down, so looking, we're going to have to try and get into the zone of this because we've been out of it for a little bit, and we can't. You just can't start being creative straight away. You got to work your way into these things. Yeah? You got to get your mind in the zone. But I walked up and we're shooting this tiny corridor walkway in the house. It's not much wider than my shoulders.
Right,
with a tiny bit of light coming through one little glass doorway, and I've got my black backdrop pretty much bent in half because it was so thin, you know. So it's incredibly tight construct, and it's right near the heater. Okay. And all these oldies have the heaters on like 150 degrees. They all have no blood circulation, so I'm already boiling, and now I'm next to this heater in this tight confined space.
And you're full up on curry egg sandwiches, so your sides are touching the walls.
It's not a good combination. And first shot, it was bang.
First shot,
perfect, perfectly exposed, perfect expression, perfect light. Incredibly emotive. Wow. It's like, so I'm done.
Packed up and said, we're out of here.
Pretty much. It's close.
Thanks for the sandwiches.
I choose not to run. Thanks for the sandwiches. I'll take the rest in a container if that's all right. It was a long drive home. So first shot, it was like, wow, it's just magnificent. And that's the one I put up on Facebook yesterday.
Right. Yep.
If you saw it, the one with the black background.
Yeah.
So we're doing one with a black background, a formal shot with a black background, and the informal one, them sitting where they live, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it was just a wonderful shot. So I was really pleased with that. And my daughter turned 7 last week.
Yes, I saw that. Yep.
So I had to take the obligatory new photographs of her because she's changed so much.
Yeah.
In the days since she was 6. So I bought this great little prop whilst I was out a weekend or so earlier up in the countryside.
Right.
There's a bowler hat with a built-in light globe that lights up.
Oh, yes. Yes, we spoke about that on the last episode.
Yeah, so I used that, took the photos. And I kind of liked them. They were okay. Yeah, they were all right. They was all right. And then I cloned out the globe, and then I loved it.
Oh, okay.
So without the globe, it's better without the globe than it is with the globe.
Oh, okay. Enough.
It changes the focus of the shot, of course, and changes the mood and the feel of the shot. So I much preferred it without. And I love the shots. And here's the funny thing, you know, I don't know what it is about photography, but every photograph that I really like, just sort of no one else seems to get.
Oh, okay.
it's like, oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, nice enough. Yeah, okay. I'm going, but look at it. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I suppose it's okay if you like that kind of thing.
Exactly like that kind of stuff. You know, it's funny. Every photograph I've ever taken that I actually really like. Now, I don't like many of my photos.
Right.
You know? I like to consider myself a serviceable, competent photographer. Right? Yep. But when I take a photograph I really like, it only happens 4 or 5 times a year. You know, right. No one else seems to get as excited as I do. that just, you know, because you see things differently from your, because you're emotively connected or whatever, or
yeah,
you know, it's funny.
Karma. Funny, it's what you get for being a mongrel to everybody else.
There you go. Now, speaking of being a mongrel to everybody else, I've been noticing on my Facebook feed from time to time, people who, you know, I know through workshops, little updates coming up on their Facebook page. I won this week's photo challenge at Pixoto.com and all this sort of stuff. And I said, well, I've never heard of Pixoto. So I thought, well, you know, for the interest of this podcast, Bruce, I thought I'll do some research and pretend I know something about photography by actually knowing something about something that's happening on the internet.
Right.
And so I went and checked it out, and it turns out it's like it's a competition website. It's a beauty contest website.
Right.
Being that you upload your photographs to this website and you put them in different categories. There's lots of different categories like portraits of men, portraits of women, bees on flowers, landscapes, single flowers, two flowers, four flowers. There's a myriad of them. And so you upload your photograph but it costs you 10 credits to upload a photograph.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And the only way you get credits is when you vote on these competitions.
No.
You can buy them, but, you know, of course you don't pay when you get it for free. So you go on, and they basically put up two photographs in a category, and you have to choose which of the two is better.
Right.
And you go, oh, just click, 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 just go through, and just keep cycling through images for as long as you have the patience to sit there and vote.
Right.
Vote someone off the island, effectively. And then your
photos are just so that you can get some credits.
Yeah, and then your photos are rated based on how many they call them duels, how many duels you've been in, and how many you've won versus how many you've lost, and you go up a leaderboard,
right,
of popularity, and it
sounds like the photographic equivalent of a pyramid scheme.
Well, no, because pyramid scheme, someone's trying to make money, and there's not much money in this thing.
Yeah, but this, you've got to click on this to earn credits that you can then use to.
But you're not paying for them, though.
Yeah. No, I know.
And you can win prizes. There are different companies put up prizes for different categories from time to time. But yeah, it's a terrible system. It doesn't work. In that I put up a couple of awesome photographs and not many people voted for them, Bruce.
Right.
My photos. It's definitely
broken.
Voted down, Bruce.
The system is definitely broken.
You know, some of my photos are only winning 50% of the votes. How is that possible? I saw some of the crap that was up there. No. that goes back to that same thing. The photo, I put up a photo I really like, and half the people who look at it don't like it.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting to see that statistic.
Law of averages,
yeah. But no, you think, if you think it's a really good photograph, and let's face it, when it comes to portraits online in these kind of things, they tend to be a little bit more rudimentary, not quite in the same blow-mo, or not quite the same lit quite as well, or composed as strongly. I do that reasonably well.
Yeah.
So my images are strong.
Yeah.
But they're still only pleasing one out of every two people. Which is fascinating in itself when you think about it, you know, how subjective photography is.
Yep.
And once again, I put a photo up that I actually really like, and it's like everyone goes, yeah, it's all right. One person goes, yeah, it's better than that one, but that one was terrible, you know. Because you might be winning one out of two, but that could mean the other photo and duel and the other half were just absolutely awful. Yeah, you're the least ugly of the two.
Yours is less awful.
Less awful. But I guess where it falls down for me as a system is this: it's a lifeless critique. There's a non-feedback. There's no one saying I chose this one because,
right,
or I chose against this one because. There is actually no feedback other than a cold calculating score,
right?
And the score can be. There's no soul
and
in
a completely anonymous score at that.
Yeah, it's just there's just no soul in it whatsoever. You know.
Yeah.
Now you can comment. There's a space there to comment, but out of the, I don't know, I've probably had 600 duels, I've had no comments.
Right.
I've had people go and comment individually on some photos.
Yeah.
But actually during a duel.
Right.
Because people just quickly press the button because they're trying to get the points up.
Yeah,
they're not sitting there spending time critiquing. So I think that's where it sort of falls down. I think you actually get extra points if you do comment, but people just don't. You know?
Yeah, right.
It's quicker just to press another button, you know?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting concept of photography, you know, dueling against other people of the same type of photograph.
Mm.
But, yeah, a bit soulless to me.
Right.
A bit soulless.
Okay.
Anyway, that was. I've been in workshops, of course. I'm just normal workshop. I'm off to Rockhampton in sunny Queensland myself tomorrow, so it'll be nice.
Excellent.
Just up for 3 days.
Cool.
And three workshops and a one-on-one in 3 days. It'll keep you busy. No time to miss the family.
Yeah.
And, plus I'm going out for a night star trail shooting as well.
Oh, jeez.
So just with Mark Chapman, the lovely Mark Chapman, we're going to head out on Friday night and take some shots.
Cool.
Which will be a bit of fun, if I'm not too knackered. But, yeah, that's kind of been my 2 weeks. Nothing overly exciting. A few nice photos and a few
now,
I liked.
The last time we spoke,
you
mentioned that David Deschemin's The Created Image video series had been discounted by 75%.
100% off, wasn't it?
Yes, exactly. So like it was down to 20 Canadian dollars.
Yeah, which is like 12 Australian dollars, I don't know, 18 Australian dollars.
Something like that. So I bought it.
Oh. And so did our friend
Glyn's,
Reg Vard.
Glyn's been rabbiting on about this thing for months and months and months. I'm going to pick it up and watch it and at least have some clue as to what he's rabbiting on about. I downloaded it. It was nowhere near the 4 gigabytes you told me it was. It was about 20 gigabytes.
20 gigabytes?
10 files and they're 2 gigs each.
There you go.
Yeah. So, I'm about 3/4 of the way through the first video.
So you're about 45 minutes in.
Something like that, yeah, because they're an hour or so in length each, yep.
Putting in the hard yards.
Yeah. Well,
you've committed to it.
It's a matter of when I get time.
Dude, you're on the toilet probably long about per day. Come on your iPhone and watch it on there.
So anyway, one of the things that I did like within that 45 minutes that I've seen.
First and foremost, did it impact you? Overall visual concept and how he approaches the thought process. Do you find that interesting, refreshing, dynamic, crap? You know, how did it come
interesting
across
so far? Yeah.
And did he make you see things in slightly different ways?
Not yet.
Okay.
But I did love the comment that he made about Robert Capa's famous quote, if your photos aren't interesting enough, it's because you're not close enough. And David Deschemin raised the question that comment from Capa could be taken one of two ways, in that you're not close enough physically to the subject, or you're not close enough emotionally to the subject, which I thought was a really interesting
take on it.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, absolutely. I think, I would say that if you're photographing a strange cultural event in a country and you have no idea what the cultural event is, how can you capture it with any meaning?
Yeah.
But if you learn something about it and then go and shoot it, yeah, you still only have a limited understanding, but it's better than, you know, you're a step along where you would have been.
Yeah.
And the more you can know about something, the better you can shoot it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. So I've always thought of it, you know, that phrase could be either way, you know,
yeah.
Which is why with these veterans, you know, we're sitting down talking to them for an hour and a half before we photograph them.
Yeah.
To know them.
Yep.
To have some form of intimacy with them where we can now capture something more than just a picture of them.
Yeah.
You know, so because that's a good a good little quote.
Mm. Hmm. So yeah, so I am looking forward to, you know, finding the time to watch more of it, but it's just a case of finding that time. Maybe if I was still catching the train and not riding the motorbike, I'd have all those hours sitting on the train to do it.
Absolutely. That'd be a pretty darn good thing to watch on a train.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I might watch some more on the plane tomorrow.
Right. Fair enough.
Good idea.
I also saw a thing on DIYphotography.net through the week. Neil Gaiman's advice for creative people is harsh, true, and mostly optimistic. Now, I haven't had a chance to watch the video that is included in the link, and the link will be in the show notes, of course, because it's about a 19 or 20-minute video.
Wow.
But there was 3 points right at the bottom of the blog post, which I thought were great. One, don't be afraid to fail.
Yeah.
Two, be nice, deliver awesome work, and deliver on schedule. Doing any two of those on a consistent basis will land you jobs.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great.
That's always been my motto. I always insist on doing two of those because I can never do the third.
Yeah. And the third one, it doesn't matter how you got the job, be awesome at it and you'll keep it.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a great little summary of, yeah. I'll definitely be going back to watch the video when I get 20 minutes.
Who's Neil Gaiman, sorry?
Actor and an author.
Ah, yes. He's a writer too. That's what he's a writer too. Now, I've read. Didn't he write something with Terry Pratchett?
Possibly.
I think I read that one. It's the only Terry Pratchett book.
Terry Pratchett wrote Discworld, didn't he?
Yeah. Never read those either.
No, I haven't read it either. But
yeah.
Now this evening I saw you from 30 years ago.
Yes. I felt the world needed a bit of cheering up and needed a bit of a laugh.
Now, can I trust you not to remove that image from Facebook?
Yeah, of course.
Good.
Yeah.
David Clark, please go and grab that photo and do something with it.
I thought it was good for a laugh.
It's interesting, you know, because when you take away the Warwick Kappa hair, you still look like you.
I know. For those who don't know, Warwick Kappa was an Australian rules footballer back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Very bad. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't aged.
No, yeah. The facial, you know, structure hasn't changed at all.
Go back to Facebook and someone's commented, I love your hat. It's just my hair. It's like a Daniel Boone hat.
Daniel Boone was a man.
And there's a woman there from who knew me back in those days, and I haven't seen since those days, going, just as I remember. Isn't that funny?
Oh, dear.
But yeah, that's up there for a bit of a laugh, yeah. And my father-in-law saying, words fail me, but I'm glad it's not what my daughter brought home. Sometimes you just have to be the butt of the joke, you know.
Yeah. Now, while we're talking about David Clark,
yes,
he's come out of retirement.
He did,
and furnished us with a new poster on the Shutters Inc. Facebook wall. So, for those who have not yet liked the Facebook page for Shutters Inc. podcast, please go and look it up. And have a look at the submissions from David Clark, the most recent one, to Australia's favourite drones. I love it.
He's good.
Yeah, nicely done, David. Thank you. Adam Davidson posted some things.
Did he?
Yes.
Our roving reporter.
That's it. An article about why it sucks to be a mid-level wedding photographer.
Oh, why does it?
I don't know. I haven't had time to read it because he only posted it. He only posted it this afternoon. I haven't had a chance to read it. But I can say this. If the images that are going along with that blog post are the efforts of some mid-level wedding photographers, then yes, I would say it sucks to be a mid-level wedding photographer.
Oh, dear.
Are you looking at them?
Just having a quick look now.
Yeah.
Oh, wordy lordy.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Those are creative ideas. Oh, dear. Said no one ever.
Oh, dear. No, these are all very bad.
But
that's not necessarily a mid-level wedding, but that's just bad photography.
It's just bad creative ideas.
Some mid-level photographers can take beautiful work.
Yes, absolutely.
They just don't know to charge enough.
Yeah.
There's some phenomenal $1,000 wedding photographers out there.
Yeah.
Do wonderful work, and they're incredibly cheap because they just don't value themselves.
Yeah.
Can we just go back to the David Duchemin for just a minute again?
Sure.
Because we also got the email from Reg Vardy during the 2 weeks.
Oh, I missed that.
Didn't you see it?
No.
Maybe it was just, no, okay, maybe. But Reg is someone I trained in Western Australia a couple of years ago. And he sent us a message through saying a couple of years ago he lost his photo mojo, his fojo.
Oh, okay.
And he was pretty much disillusioned with the whole world of photography and was about to give up and sell all his gear.
Oh, hang on. No, I do remember this. Facebook wall?
Yeah, and Reg listens to our podcast, and he says in the 200-odd-ish episodes, he's had the one useful tip so far, and then he had the second one, which is this one. And so he took the punt, and he also spent the massive 20 Canadian and downloaded the video and has been completely reinvigorated.
Fantastic.
It's just given him just a fresh approach and a fresh viewpoint, and just to get to listen to somebody. Now, he lives in the boondockies of Western Australia, if I remember.
Is he not in Perth?
Yeah, that's the boondocks. Everything in West Australia is the boondocks.
Don't listen to him, Reg.
It's the most remote capital, the most remote city in the world.
Bollocks.
It is.
You mean state capital?
As far, it might be state capital. I don't know. I heard it once. But it's removed from any other major city. The most biggest isolated city in the world.
Right.
So I said, it's the boondockies, dude. Even if you live downtown, the middle of all the high rises, in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
So he said, and he listened. He started watching the videos and just
and it's inspired him.
Yeah, it just brought back some of his passion. So I sent that off to David and said, look, you might want to hear this from someone, and it made David's day. He was delighted to his words have had an impact on somebody, which is lovely as well, you know.
Sure.
So it's just nice when that sort of stuff comes around, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I read an interesting quote talking about the proximity of cities to other locations.
Yeah.
An interesting statistic about Alice Springs the other day, which was Alice Springs is the city in Australia which has the minimum distance to all beaches in Australia. If you don't know Australia that well and you don't know where Alice Springs is, look on Google Maps.
Google it. Unless you look up something from the Australian Commonwealth Games team, it may be missing. If you're seeing our lovely Australian uniforms for the Commonwealth Games, is missing Tasmania.
Oh, really?
Yeah, again.
Whoops.
You actually commented on this message from Reg.
So. Oh, did I? What did I say?
Bloody hell, Glenn, you've gone and shared something useful again. At this rate, we're going to have to double the price of the podcast.
That's right.
But he says that thanks for the inspirational video series. My photography Get Up and Go had got up and gone some years ago and tempted to sell off all my gear. This series has inspired me to get back into photography again. I always knew if I listened long enough to Shutter Sync podcast, there would be something useful for me. And in episode 268 finally delivered. Keep up the good work. So, give us another 260-odd episodes. We might get close to it again.
Excellent.
So that was pretty cool. And, I'm happy that that little bit just helps. Because we all get in the funks. You know, I said, just
Definitely.
Reg, just get in touch. Talk to us, dude, if you're having problems, If anyone's feeling down about the photography, we can take the piss out of you for a while and make you feel a bit better about the world. It's no problem. There's a reply from Dave Duchemin is, fantastic. Thank you. Made my day. As a little side note, been enjoying your portraits lately, Glenn. Beautifully done. Yeah, just throw that last little bit in there.
Of course you would. The next link from Adam was an artist who has replaced the sky from a bunch of city portraits / landscapes with the swirl from the tops of coffees.
Ah.
It's a very interesting collection of images and really funky. So if you haven't had a look at that, give it a gaze. And the last one from Adam was a site that was unfortunately published in German, and
yes,
Google Translate didn't do a particularly awesome job of translating it into English.
The Vietnamese, which I thought was very strange.
So, but an interesting looking product. This is a high speed.
It's a Blitzker.
Flash head. That will allegedly allow cameras with focal plane shutters, which is what most of our DSLRs have, to shoot and sync with the flash with shutter speeds up to an 1/8000th of a second, which is pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome.
I mean, obviously anyone who shoots with a camera with a leaf shutter can already do that, but with pretty much any flash. I don't know what the technology is that's allowed this particular unit to work with focal.
It's strobing.
Oh, is that what it's doing?
It'd have to be strobing.
Right. That's pretty cool.
I can't imagine how it would be doing anything other than strobing.
Right. That's pretty cool.
Right. It is, basically, it's because, I mean, you can use your normal speed lights at high speed sync.
Yep.
And all they do is strobe. So I can only imagine all this is they've just transferred that same concept into a studio head.
Right.
Okay. Kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, who knows if we ever see it in this country or any country.
Unfortunately, very expensive.
Really?
About €2,500.
Can I just say, though, one of the example photographs is a couple of girls against the photos are terrible, but a couple of girls against a tree. Now, if they can sync this thing at 1/8000th of a second.
Yeah.
Well, they've got a whole area of the sky where the sun is completely burnt out. And the image is absolutely completely burnt out. So it's just a white blob.
Right.
Now, if you aim your camera at 1/8000th of a second, f/22 at the sun, you're going to see the sun.
Yeah.
You're not going to have washed out white clouds.
You'd see yellow.
Yeah. I shoot 200th of a second f/22 directly into the sun and get detail on the sun.
Right.
So there's something wrong with the photo, you know.
Probably the guy pushing the button.
I never looked at it but until just then. But if you reckon, I shot it at 5.6. But still, at 50th, why?
Yeah.
The background doesn't need to be blurred out, and he's got a horrible washed out sky. Yeah, well, good use of the tool, dude. Well done. You've nailed that photo. What? But certainly for the shots there with the guy with the basketball and water, I mean, that stuff that freezes water is fantastic.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Man, I would love to have the ability to sink that fast out in the open.
Yeah, me too.
Be awesome.
Absolutely. But I mean, that's what I'm looking forward to when they finally land the LED light cubes, because you can do that as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because once again, they put out a pulse of a duration of light.
Have you spoken with Nathan lately?
Not lately, but I've been keeping an eye on their Facebook update, and I think they're in final production now.
Right.
I think an August delivery.
Oh, okay. So only weeks away.
Yeah, and only, 9 months
behind schedule.
But that stuff happens. I'm keeping an eye out on that for sure.
Yep. Now, through the week I posted a link on the Facebook page.
You did?
To a kind of a time lapse sort of thing. It was kind of hard to really pinpoint what you would call the genre of photography / videography / time lapse that was involved here, but it was absolutely beautifully done. If you didn't see it, check out either the show notes or the Facebook wall. This guy shot this video around Barcelona using multiple cameras and time lapse and all kinds of stuff, and it's trippy. It's like watching MTV. Cool. Did you watch it?
Well, do you mean MTV was when they still played music, or
yeah,
Yeah. No, I didn't watch it. Of course not. You put it up.
Of course not. Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, Carl Hemmings posted a link to another video, which I have yet to go and see, but I think it might have been from the same guy, which is, I think it's a similar concept, but it's using tilt shift lenses, so it kind of makes everything look like it's in miniature.
Even more, just a small MTV.
Yeah,
lowercase
MTV. Yes. So that link will also be in the show notes. And the last thing that I had on the list was from Richard Clark, who posted a very heartwarming story about a grieving father whose newborn infant didn't last terribly long after birth. And so he took a photo of the infant just after he'd passed away, and posted it to Reddit, which, if you know anything about the interwebs, the crowd on Reddit can be awfully harsh if you give them the opportunity. But in this instance, they came through with flying colors. He basically said, look, this was an image of my son who died shortly after childbirth. And, if anyone could touch this up and kind of make him look presentable just as a memory for us, it'd be great, and a bunch of people, took this image and, removed the medical apparatus from the image and, touched up the skin tones and all that kind of stuff.
Some people did woeful effort. Some people did pretty.
Yeah. Look, you're going to get that. If you post an image to Reddit, you're going to get that.
I just don't want to see bad images. You know what I mean? I wouldn't want
not
to see.
Not in that context. Yeah, no.
I'd want somebody vetting the images. So if it was me as the father, God forbid, that only passing through the images that were
worth seeing.
Subtle and because there was some shocking stuff on there. People, if you don't have the skill to do anything like that sensitively, don't do it at all, people.
No.
Do not even attempt, practice it for yourself to make yourself better at work, but don't send it in.
Yeah.
Because there was some diabolically bad stuff.
Was there?
Right. Oh, yeah, just evil looking. There's no sensitivity in that,
Right.
So, anyway. That was just my artistic take on what I was seeing as far as an end result. Because that thing was making the view all around the interwebs.
Yes, it was sort of went a bit viral through the week. So but I thought it was a nice story.
No, absolutely, absolutely.
So anyway, that's it for me.
That's it. It's enough from me, and it's enough from you. Well, I've got a couple of things. I came across. I shouldn't pick on people. It's not nice, but it's what I do, so I have to do it. Anyway. But I saw someone the other day who was advertising themselves as a professional photographer.
Professional?
Yeah, P-R-O-F-I-T-I-O-N-A-L. He's professional. Professional. If you can't spell the word professional right, don't do the job either. That's all I'm saying. I've got to put some kudos out to our friends at DP Review or Deep Review, whichever you prefer.
Right.
Because they've done it again with the D810.
Yeah.
Fabulous stuff. They've put their real-world photo examples out there again. Yep. Fabulously crap. quite frankly, could have been done with an iPhone.
Right.
The quality of the pictures they put out there, just learn to take a decent photo.
Yeah, right.
They've got just the worst, diabolically crud, lack of art, lack of anything decent in the photos. What? Sure, you're showing us the resolution of the photo. Isn't the resolution good? But the photo's terrible. I don't need a good resolution photo of something horrible. Show me something inspiring and great that this camera can do.
Yeah.
My mate Mark Coman, who runs Paul's Photo in LA, I do workshops for, he was doing a launch the other day of the 810 in his store in LA.
Yeah.
Same thing. He's put up his photos. Oh, this camera's amazing. I'm saying, well, pity your photos aren't. Your photos were just not flattering at all. They don't say anything about the camera. They don't say anything about the product.
Right.
That's of any viable interest.
Right.
It's just, okay. And you can't tell by looking at the photograph, oh, wow, look at the resolution. Well, what's the lens doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. You take the same photo with a cheap camera, look at it online with a quality lens on. Well, how's it going to look?
Yeah.
But their photos are diabolical. And yeah, but I'll give this to them. They're consistent. given kudos there. Yes, they've got 47 pages of technical information, and you can see what its failure rate like when it's looking at a quarter of a stamp under 1,000 times magnification.
Because I do that so often.
Absolutely. I can't take a photo to save myself. So good on you guys. You've done it again. But I did come across something decent on D Preview or DP Review, whichever you prefer.
Yeah.
The Cactus have brought out a, I thought this was quite interesting, a multi-TTL trigger.
Multi-TTL.
And what they mean by that is, it means that you can, say if you've got your Sony going as an example.
Yeah.
And with this TTL trigger on, probably wouldn't work with a Sony, maybe I should use a real camera. Say you're using a Nikon.
Yeah.
And all your friends have Canon TTL flashes and you've got a couple of Nikon TTLs, it can trigger all of them with TTL.
Wow.
Multi-brand receives and transmits the information across multi-formats.
Not using slave mode?
Not using slave mode. Using full TTL.
Wow.
But it's expensive.
Right.
It's $55.
Okay.
So that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
So it must surely just know what frequencies are required for the two brands and then just sends out both signals.
But it's more than just frequency, though, because they're talking to each other. Yeah. They've actually got to be transmitting information to each other.
Right.
That's the whole point of TTL, using the multiple pins. It's not just as a frequency issue. Otherwise, you just need a single pin.
Yeah.
So they're actually transmitting power information to each other.
Yep.
And so that's kind of cool. I only saw that this evening, so I just quickly grabbed it. That sounds cool. Yeah, and it's ridiculously cheap, of course. And then I came across a YouTube video from B&H Photo.
Yep.
On how to do, it's not titled this, but maybe it should have been, how do you shoot HDR images that even Bruce Williams wouldn't hate.
Right.
And the guy was doing some pretty decent stuff.
Okay.
That you wouldn't necessarily think was HDR by looking at it.
Right. That's the kind of HDR I like.
Yeah, you think it's a strong dynamic range, but there's no artifacts, there's no weirdness going on.
Nice.
It's like an hour and a 20 video. It's a long Whoa. Thing. But yeah, for those who want to become lovers, not haters.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something you're struggling with. Maybe it's worthwhile. And that'll be in the notes as well.
Yep.
And then I came across, and I shouldn't be advertising this, free photography classes from MIT.
Worth everything you paid for it.
Institute of Technology. But they've got 12 courses, 12 of their courses out. I think they've got 10 out at the moment, a few more to come, for free. And some of them look pretty darn interesting.
Okay.
So if you want to sort of get stuck into something a bit meatier.
So it's something you can download?
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
So is it video or is it text or what?
It's a bit of both, I think. Right. Who knows? I didn't look at it. Don't expect me to go that deep. It's free, dude. I'm not going to spend my time. As I say with all these things, if you get one thing out of something, it's great. It's another step.
Yeah.
So have a look, and if it seems to be a format that's something you can use, go for it. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
And then I came across this other thing with from Canon, where they had this guy's shooting with 50 Canon 1DXs.
Right. Why 50 of them?
And doing bullet time type.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. 50 of the damn things.
Nice.
And they're doing these guys doing karate and leaps and jumps and then guys being towed behind boats on surfboards and stuff and doing leaps in the water and using these rigs to photograph it.
Right.
Seriously cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. $7,000 a body times 50. They've got a fair investment there. Yeah. But that's over $20,000, Bruce. A big investment. That's pretty darn cool. So all those links will be in the podcast notes.
Yep.
Oh, and the last thing,
and
it was salient when I first put it down, but now by the time this comes out, it'll be a week or so ago. It was 45 years ago today, / a couple of days ago now, we landed on the moon.
Yes, I did notice that little landmark sail by, and it didn't seem to get a lot of fanfare.
Well, it's 45.
Yeah. 5 years from now, it's going to be huge.
It's huge, yeah, because we might be there again by then.
Maybe.
By then, actually, we'll be getting ready to launch for the moon. For Mars, I should say.
Yeah.
See that they've just signed, NASA's just signed the contracts to have the rockets built.
For the
manned missions to Mars.
Oh, okay.
And no, I hadn't. It's going to be, I think they're set for launch at 2021.
Right.
And the first test launch will be 2017. and then they're going to do a manned mission to an asteroid first.
Wow.
I think they're signing up Bruce Willis for that one.
Right.
but yeah, so that's going to be something in our lifetime. Well, if we live that long, in our lifetime, that we're going to see men going to Mars.
Awesome.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I just hope that they build it right, because I remember, you know, when they did like a joint agency trip to the Mars a couple of years ago,
right.
They had the European Space Agency working on stuff,
yep.
And the North American Space Agency working on stuff.
Yep.
And then they brought it together at the last minute and sent it all off. But the European ones were working metric. So it just shot straight past Mars and just kept on the going. Oh,
whoops.
Missed it by that much. Not something you want to happen with a manned craft.
No.
So there's a link there in the notes there, which has got some pretty cool photos
awesome.
from the Atlantic showcasing that time in history, which is pretty cool.
Sure.
And that's it, my friend. That's all I've got.
Fantastic.
The wealth of stuff that it's been. But,
yep. Well, we've got the opportunity, I think, for two more podcasts after this one. And then I will be gone for 2 weeks on the rally.
Again? Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes, it's snuck
up. I'm coming up to Sydney, by the way.
I should quickly. You are?
I'm coming up to Sydney.
Yeah.
For the Digital Playground.
Okay, tell me the date so I know when to be out of town.
September 15, 16, 17 at Luna Park for all the Sydney people. There's a big photo event going to be happening at Luna Park there.
Mm-hmm. So this is the same one that was held over at the overseas shipping passenger terminal last year.
That's the one. Yep. And then, so I'm up there for Tamron for that one.
So September 15, 16, 17. September
15, 16, 17, the weekend of that.
Yep.
Then on August 23 in Brisbane, there's going to be the Educational Photo Expo.
Right.
And then September 6th, there's going to be the in Melbourne. So there's a few Australian people, if you're looking at getting some learning on, there's a few opportunities there. But when we're in Sydney, maybe we can get together and have a beer or something.
Definitely.
So maybe record some live beer drinking festivities for the podcast. Yeah.
I'll see what we can do.
You know how much I drink, you know. Yeah. One pot screamer.
So. Right.
But anyway, so two more episodes before you come down, and maybe we can catch up when you're down here, hopefully. And
yeah, well, we'll see what we can organise. Yeah,
come out and do an evening shoot with you or something.
Yeah,
of the dusty trailblazers.
Yeah, maybe. Cool.
Is that what they call themselves?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
I'll find all that out when I get to Gundagai.
We'll call them that. See if you get hit.
Yeah. All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
I will. For the people up in Rockhampton, if you listen to this podcast, I hope you enjoyed me.
Yes. Excellent. All right. I'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Now, there's one more thing I did mean to cover while I had Glyn on the line, completely forgot to do it, was that John Swainston, the manager of Maxwell Australia, I've interviewed him a couple of times in past years on this podcast, posted on his Facebook wall through the week that a good friend of his, a long-term or professional photographer by the name of Keith Shipton, has just launched a new website in Australia. It's kind of an e-bulletin. It's called Pro Counter Australia, and the website is procounter.com.au. There'll be a link in the show notes. Basically, this is going to be a fortnightly. I think he said fortnightly. Might have been weekly, fortnightly. Check it out. Basically, a newsletter of all things that are going on that affect professional photographers here in Australia. So some of it will be product releases. Some of it will be, you know, discussion about things that are going on in the industry, all that kind of stuff. And so I said to John, look, I'll mention it in the podcast this week just to get the word out. So, if you think that that's something that might interest you, please go and check it out. And, it's free to sign up and... All right. That will do it for this week, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.